Only horse they've backed here is Never Out. Went up six, was into 460 last night. Opened that price this morning. They've taken that. It's now a $4 chance.
Yeah, look, plenty of speed here, guys, especially from Orientex, who showed blistering pace in his last trial. So I expect him to try and zip across from that draw. The others kicking up that have shown pace at the trials include Shellac, Never Out, and Second Step.
Yeah, I like number seven, Never Out, Paul. I just so impressed by that trial at Gosford on November 2. Star witness filly out of Aurora's Jester Mare, so she's bred to be a speed machine, and she looked every inch of that in that Gosford trial. Won by 3.5, wasn't really tested, just looked an absolute natural. Makes its debut here. Wouldn't be surprised, Paul, if it tries to take advantage of that inside gate and hold out Orientex. And look, I think she's set to win on debut, number seven, Never Out. Another couple of first starters who've impressed in recent trials, two Orientex, as Paul said, showed good pace in its Rose Hill trial win in late October. Just that awkward draw, might have to do a bit of work early. Number three, Daytime Dancer from the John Thompson stable. Been impressed with this mare. She looks good in a recent trial at Randwick behind My True Love. And the favourite, Good Time Charlie, resuming here. A couple of solid trials going into this, but I just think it needs to step up a little and is pretty short in early betting. Seven, Never Out, looks a promising tight pull. 7, 2, 3, and 5 in race seven.
Yeah, it's a good little race this. I've gone 1, 8, 7, and 2. I'm with number one, Shellac, from barrier two. I think Timmy Clark will just let the speed go and take the trail here. He's been riding this horse at its last couple of trials, and he's been getting it to settle and find the line, and I think they may be rewarded for that this afternoon in what I think will be a very fast run, 1,000 metres. I thought the danger here, number eight, Second Step. I like the way she trialled at Hawkesbury. We've only seen her once, but she did it very naturally, and I like the look of her. Number seven, Never Out. Can't knock what Ray said there. She was very sharp winning that Gosford trial. And the fourth, I've got number two, Orientex, who looks a real speedster. Maybe that final 100 will test, but I think he'll be in front turning for home. 1, 8, 7, and 2, and I think this will be a good form race.
Okay, Darren Flindell's over the debut and Never Out, number 7, to be 2, 8, and 1. 7, 2, 8, and 1. And before he jumps in his car and drives up to the Central Coast, Glenn, give us the market here for the last, mate.
Yes, Andrew, the Aldi Erin Affair, the benchmark here, which is a benchmark 69. And the first runner is Scratch Sky Mission, no deduction taken there. Randicki at $15. Duty Dude at $5. Princess Command, Andrew Atkins, the rider there, at $8.50. White Acclaim at $4.20. Fly Forward, $5.50. Capite at $11. Exceed the Moon at $10. Anatime at $7. Planet Reality, 26, Kamehameha, 31, and Dwarf Star with a cross noseband on, a tongue tie on, and the blinkers off at $11. Best supported runner here, and the majority of money has come for it this morning, that is Fly Forward. It's been $7.50 into $5.50 this morning. Second pick, and it's been solid all the way through, is actually Dwarf Star. And the only other thing I could tell you, the jockey's challenge there today at Gosford. Favourite is Jason Collard, $1.95 over Josh Parr at $2.80. I'll see you on Sky Thoroughbred Central on the stroke of midday.
Good on you. Thanks a lot, Glenn. Safe travels up there. How's the pace in the last here, Paul?
Yeah, look, there's a stack of pace bends. Drawn wide too, so Exceed the Moon will try and get across the lead. Anatime will go forward, and then kicking up the inside of those, Fly Forward, Duty Dude, even other runners like Wide Acclaim and Kammer. What is it? Kamehameha. So, no, plenty of speed there. Plenty of speed there, guys, in the last.
Yeah, I think it sets up beautifully here for number three, Duty Dude. Paul just probably settles off that hot tempo, as you suggested. A horse who does sprint well fresh. His two previous first up runs, a win and a second, and last prepper was just beaten by a smart type in San Giovese when resuming at Hawkesbury. Two wins have been over the 1,000-metre trip and needs good track, which he gets today. I think Duty Dude looks the horse to beat here. Number six, Fly Forward. Not surprised, there's been good money for this sprinter from the John Thompson stable. Comes off a lovely trial at Randwick recently when it beat Francesco. Did win at Wyong first up over 1,100 metres back in the winter. Number four, Princess Command, off this hot speed. We've seen her swoop fast over the top of them late. She's a back marker but has a powerful finish. And number eight, Exceed the Moon, back in winning form. But just that awkward draw, might have to do a bit of work early. In the last, very competitive race, number three, Duty Dude on top from 6, 4, and 8.
But we've found the same one here, 8, 3, 5, 8, and 4. So the $5 looks good value for Duty Dude. We've both come off the same reasoning. First up run last prep bump into San Giovese, which is a lot stronger than what he probably meets today. And I loved his Rose Hill trial coming into this, where he won convincingly. So with the speed on, gets the right run. Hopefully Duty Dude can pounce on them late. Number five, Wide Acclaim. I think he'll get a gun run off barrier one. I like his trial coming to this. It was actually in Duty Dude's trial. He was put under no pressure whatsoever. So a big watch on the five. Number eight, Exceed the Moon. He loves this track and distance. He's had three goes at it for two wins and a placing. If he can get across from that wide draw, he'll be hard to catch. And the four, Princess Command. Watch for her zooming home late. She's had four starts at Gosford for two wins and two placings. So she loves it here. Three, five, eight and four in the last.
Darren Flindell likes the three as well to beat seven, six and five. Three, seven, six and five in the last. At $5 might not last too long after the boys have mentioned it this morning. Ray, what's your best, mate?
Yeah, Andrew, race six, number two, Baroque Girl, should just get all the favourites up in front and run the race to suit itself and should win race six, number two, Baroque Girl.
Bjorn Baker and Jason Collett, who, as Glenn told us, $1.95 in the Jockeys Challenge. Good luck to you, Ray.
Thanks so much, Andrew.
Ray Thomas there. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I'm confident here, Benz. Race five, number five, West Smoke, and at $7.50 to win. You could back her straight out or play it safe and back her each way. I think she'll definitely finish top three, and hopefully she can get the cash. So race five, number five, West Smoke.
All right, first at 1:20. Enjoy the day, Paul.
No, looking forward to it. Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, mate. And repeating that Darren Flindell's best was race two, number one, Himalaya Flyer. You'll get more from Darren Flindell at 10 to 11 when he joins Sean to go through his thoughts for every race. A full coverage right through the afternoon from Gosford. New South Wales owners and trainers can race for riches at this year's New Look Queensland Summer Racing Carnival. The New Look Queensland Summer now includes three feature lead-in race days packed with 14 black type events and four Magic Millions wildcard races to prepare you for the Jeep Magic Millions race day. There's also the new $1.5 million Queensland Summer Crowns bonus for two-year-olds, three-year-olds and sprinters. Now for details, download the Summer Carnival Race Program at racingqueensland.com.au. We've got a news break coming up with the latest from the US and all the sports news. After that, it'll be Sean Cosgrove and Jared Middleton with Tab Talk.
It's 10:07. Good morning, I'm Gemma Cutting. New South Wales firefighters have again taken advantage of cooler conditions overnight to bring two big blazes closer to containment. Light rain and lower temperatures helped the Rural Fire Service tackle the Lone Pine Fire, which has burnt through more than 9,000 hectares, while the Kundabung Fire near Kempsey has been downgraded to the lowest threat for an active bushfire. Four people have been hurt, with one woman fighting for life after two cars collided in Western Sydney last night. One driver and her two female passengers were trapped in the wreckage for a short time. They were taken to hospital along with the male driver of the other car. A 52-year-old woman is in a critical condition. The search continues for a fisherman missing off Queensland's Fraser Island since early yesterday morning after a trawler capsized. Two other men were rescued, having set off distress flares. And millions of Americans have come out to decide their next president, with hours left to vote in the US election. But Republican candidate Donald Trump has again raised the possibility of not accepting the election's outcome, claiming he's seen reports of voting irregularities. In sport, the Sharks will wait for coach Shane Flanagan to return from a fact-finding tour of England and the US before weighing up their options following the loss of fullback Ben Barber. Barber was released at his request by Cronulla so he could travel to Thailand for rehab after his second positive test to cocaine in less than 2 years. Sharks boss Lyle Gorman says the club will discuss a potential replacement for Barber over time, but their major focus is supporting him. The New South Wales Open begins on Thursday with 156 golfers teeing off at Stonecutters Ridge Golf Club. The original 440 players was the largest list of entries in the championship's 85-year history, with the final field including big hitter Lincoln Tai and two-time long-driving world champion Jamie Sadlowski. The tournament will begin at 6:45 a.m. tomorrow. And six players have been nominated for World Rugby's Player of the Year, including All Blacks Dane Coles and Beauden Barrett. Three English players and an Irishman join the two Kiwis in the elite group, with no Australians making the shortlist. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
At Bing Lee, for a limited time, purchase any Beko, LG, Westinghouse, Samsung or Fisher & Paykel fridge and you'll get it delivered and your old fridge taken away for free. Only at Bing Lee and only for a limited time. See in store or binglee.com.au for details.
Sky Sports Radio still has plenty of first-class spring carnival racing to come. This Saturday, Sandown in Melbourne stages their major meeting of the year.
Who shot the barman at the 200? He's five in front now from Toolship, and he'll romp it in.
Racing HQ Saturday from 6:30 will have all the news for Sandown, plus Rose Hill, with Ron Duffersey, Mike Fraser, and Melbourne experts Dean Lester and Mark Hunter. Your complete racing service. Here on Sky Sports Radio.
If you love a bet, then we'll bet you love the jackpots and specials coming your way every week. So place a bet you'll never forget today on the Tab app, online at tab.com.au or at your local Tab. Tab, we love a bet.
Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, loves presenting the very best in racing. And this spring has produced so many magical moments. I can't stop them.
Performance revving up late, but the further they go, the further Hartnell's pulling away. Oh, isn't this easy money? And McDonough with a big cheeky look over the shoulder, eased him down, won it by seven.
What a spring carnival. And you heard it here on Sky Sports Radio.
They're off.
Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished above a GP in Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrove and tab.com.au. Jared Middleton, how are you, Jared?
Very well, Cosy. How are you this morning?
Terrific. We're going to open the bowling with the NBL. Tommy Greer joins us. Morning, Tommy. How are you going? Hello, Tommy.
Hey, mate.
How are you, mate? Good. Hey, the weekend was interesting. Sydney, Cairns, one all on the scoreboard, but the blue must have been good, the fight.
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, bring the best back. I think
hey, that's what you want. A bit of knuckle.
Absolutely. Twitter lit up when that thing started off. And what a game it was as well. I went down the stretch. A couple of absolutely huge plays. You know, the first one by Cam Gooden coming down for that huge three-pointer. And then Kevin Lish sealing the deal, last year's MVP for the Sydney Kings.
And what about Andrew Gaze's contribution to the scuffle there? Just coming, standing in the middle, both arms out. I don't know what he tried to achieve, but it was good to watch.
And it was. I mean, that's a step up for him. I was sort of expecting him to sort of duck back into the change rooms when it took off. So I thought that was pretty good.
Hey, I love it. The comedy said it fired the crowd up anyway, what they needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, I think it's the Australian public and, you know, that footy culture that, you know, everyone enjoys seeing the emotions flare a little bit, and nothing too untoward happened, so it was a good little spectacle.
And a buzzer beater, the game had it all.
Yeah, it sure did, that's right. I mean, Kevin Lish, like I was mentioning, last year's MVP, so good to just see guys like that rise to the challenge, you know, time and time again, and that's just why he's such a key for the Sydney Kings.
They've gone so well this season. I mean, you look and think, okay, Cairns beat them, what's going to happen now? They come back and then beat them.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. We've spoken about it a couple of times with you boys, but it's just amazing what Drewy's been able to do with this team so quickly. I mean, quite obviously, they've got a ton of talent, but he's just brought a great feel into the organisation, something that they haven't had in a long time. All the guys seem to be, you know, having a really good time, getting along. The chemistry just seems fantastic up there with their post-game song and the way they carry on and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it's real credit to Drewy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't put a price really on having Andrew Gaze involved in the NBL in whatever capacity.
No, absolutely. I mean, he draws crowds, and especially when you talk about this weekend. I mean, the first time Sydney's going to match up with Melbourne, you know, Andrew Gaze returning to, you know, like where he and his father pretty much, you know, created the game of basketball here in Australia, basically. You know, he's sort of the godfather of it. So, massive game then coming down here this weekend.
And the thing is, he just oozes enthusiasm like a big Labrador pup, doesn't he?
He does. That's a really good description, I reckon. that's exactly what he does. He just loves the game. He always has. And, you know, he's ultra-competitive, as is his two assistant coaches in Leonard Copeland and Dean Vickerman, who are also got real heavy ties to the Melbourne Tigers and Melbourne basketball as a whole, so it should be a real epic battle.
Well, Tommy, the competition's pretty even. Just looking at the odds for the games this weekend with tab.com.au, you haven't got too many sure price favourites, and it all kicks off for the next round tomorrow night in Brisbane, who are 3-4 up against the top of the table Kings. Sydney, 6-2. Brisbane, $2.20. The Kings, $1.67. And, well, Brisbane got a bit of a touch-up by the Breakers, though, the other day.
They did. The Breakers are starting to look pretty good, even though they've lost their veteran import point guard. But it's pretty hard to go past the Kings at the moment. Drury's got them firing on all cylinders, and add to the fact that Brisbane's lost four of their past five games, I reckon the Kings are probably going to be too strong in that one.
And on Friday night, the Breakers, 4-3, coming off that nice win over Brisbane up against Cairns, who, well, they did have one over the Kings, as we mentioned, but then, of course, lost on the buzzer, $1.48, the Breakers, Cairns, $2.65. How do you see this one playing out?
Mate, this is the tough one of the round, I think, especially when, you know, New Zealand lost their, like I mentioned before, lost their import point guard, so that'll make it a little tougher for them. It's hard not to back them at home. The battle for third place on the ladder, so both teams are going to be going right at it. And Cairns have just—they've been playing quite well. They just—lost on buzzer beaters a couple of times this year, so I think their record doesn't really sort of indicate how well they've actually been playing. Add to that the fact that Travis Trice, their import point guard, is going to be back on the floor. I actually think the Taipans might come away with a road win.
That's interesting because the Breakers are the shortest price of any team this round at $1.48. So you're saying take the value with Cairns at $2.65. They're plus 4.5 at the line too.
That's right. Get on board, and if it goes well, let me know. If it doesn't, then don't worry about it.
Hey, Tommy, the Breakers have lost one of their key imports too, haven't they, with injury?
They have. That's Ben Woodside. So he went down in the game last Friday night against Melbourne United. And, on the footage, it didn't look like much happened. I sort of thought it was going to be an ankle turn or something like that, but it turns out he's torn a part of his plantar fascia, and so he's going to be out for about eight weeks or something like that. So New Zealand will be looking to replace him for those games, and so they'll be out on the market looking for a replacement.
What's he torn again?
His plantar fascia. So that's the I think it's a tendon that runs, right underneath the arch of your foot.
Yeah,
It's a common AFL injury, isn't it, Cozzy?
Yeah, it's one of those when it's basically what they call the fallen arch almost, when your arch collapses. They call it the plantar fasciitis there, but that's what it is. It's to do with under the arch of your foot. Very painful too, Tommy.
Yeah, wasn't it Brent Harvey? I think Brent Harvey had the story about that, where he was having issues with his plantar fascia. It wasn't torn or anything like that, but one of the strategies back in the day was to actually tear it, so that way, you sort of start the healing process. And
beautiful.
I think the story was he jumped off a chair onto like a golf ball or something like that to rip it. And so, I mean, Woodside, at least he's not going to have to put on with that chronic ongoing injury now. You know, now that thing's been torn, you can get to the healing process. Yeah. And in 8 weeks, it should be back good as new.
Hey, Tommy, the Adelaide Illawarra, that's really important for both sides, this game, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a massive game. We talk about both these clubs. They're going to be sort of fighting for that fourth spot in the finals, I think. Them along with, even though Melbourne United is struggling, I'll put them in that sort of category as well. So a massive game to make sure that you get those wins and that advantage against the teams you're going to be competing against for that spot. Joey's right. Joey Wright's 100th game coaching the Adelaide 36ers. And on the back of Jerome Randall's form and his 40 points last week against Perth, I think the 36ers at home are going to come away with this.
And Jerome Randall, the $3 favourite in MVP betting as well as far as the season is concerned. They're $1.60.
That's good money.
Yeah, okay, there you go. $3. Get on for Jerome Randall. $1.67 Adelaide, $2.20 Illawarra. The big one, though, is that Melbourne-Sydney game, which is on Saturday night. $2.15 Melbourne United, Sydney $1.70. Melbourne, what's doing? They've lost four straight, but I also point out that in our overall winner market, Tommy, Melbourne United are on the third line of betting at $6, so we haven't written them off our bookies.
Yeah, and I think that's common for Melbourne. Everyone always sort of thinks that they're going to be able to find a way to turn around, and you just sort of compare it to where they were last. They were 9-0, top of the table at this point last year. This season, 3-6, bottom of the table, coming up against Andrew Gaze and the Kings, who are currently sitting on top. They're potentially going to get David Barlow back into the lineup after 8 months out. Unlikely that we'll see Chris Golding on the floor. for MU, and so I think, and obviously no Toddy Blanchfield either, so it's going to be an uphill battle for them to get over the Kings, I think.
Cairns and Brisbane, there'd only be a cigarette paper on this too, wouldn't there? There's no, they look like they're pretty even.
Yeah, absolutely, and up at the Convention Centre, it's really difficult to tip against the Taipans. They seldom lose up there, do a great job of protecting home court, and I just think they've got enough weapons to put enough points on the board to outscore Brisbane. That's the thing that concerns me about the Bolts. They just don't have enough scoring power to get over the line against teams who can put some points on the board.
And Perth, a nice little break between games, take on the Breakers. That's Sunday night in the final game of the round. Perth $1.55, the Breakers $2.45. Perth are just a skinny win over Adelaide in their previous fixture.
Yeah, look, to be honest, really concerning times for the Perth Wildcats with Damian Martin set to miss the next couple of months with a knee injury. He really is their leader on the court, their spiritual leader, their on-floor leader. I mean, he is the Perth Wildcats. He sets up their defense and really gets them going. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Jared Kenny and the rest of the guys over there in the Wildcats sort of pick up the slack from Martin sitting out. I mean, obviously New Zealand will be missing their point guard as well. So it's going to be a tough battle. I think probably the Wildcats at home, and only because they're at home, will get across the line.
Right, so plenty of value there for the punters. Are you taking the Taipans as your upset up against the Breakers on Friday night at the 2.65? Any other ones you want to circle for the punters there, Tommy?
Oh, look, I think probably Sydney against Melbourne. I mean, it's top versus bottom. Stranger things have happened, but just the way those two clubs are running at the moment, I think Sydney's up and running and Melbourne is really struggling, so I think that's probably a good bet too.
Okay, right. A nice little double Cairns into Sydney. That's going to pay you about $4.50, that double, so not a bad one.
Brilliant.
Good on you, Tommy. Good to catch up.
Good on you, guys.
Thanks, mate. Have a good week. Tommy Greer joining us there. And I tell you what, it has been a pretty even sort of round, hasn't it?
Well, you just have to look at the ladder and how tight it is. So 6-2, the Kings on top of the ladder. You got, a handful of teams that are 3-4 or 4-3. Four of them, in fact. The Breakers, 4-3. The Taipans, Bullets and 36ers are 3-4. And Melbourne United, who I mentioned, are on the third line of betting as far as the overall winner market is concerned. They're bottom of the ladder at 3-6. So it's pretty tight there. So that hence, there's quite a bit of value there for the punters. If you have a look at your head-to-heads, the shortest price favourite I mentioned, the Breakers, $1.48. And, Tommy tells us, go the value with Cairns, $2.65. So, yeah, good betting. Our punters love the NBL.
Yeah, too right. Now, we'll keep on top of the US elections today, too. I do love the way Donald Trump's flagging already. He thinks it's a rort, just in case he gets rolled. I just want something to make his hair stand on end, that's all. See how long it stretches up, Donald.
There's a fair bit of spray in that, I think, Cozzy.
It's the Greatest Loser, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, no. Anyway. we've held a fair bit of money on that, too, let me tell you. But in the last couple of days, they've really come for Hillary Clinton after a lot of the early money was all for Donald Trump there. But we'll see how it plays out, Cozzy.
All right, lovely. Now, Rachel King joining us now. She's riding today at Gosford. Got four nice rides there. Morning, Rachel.
Morning, how are you?
Very well. You've got Sabrarian for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott in the second event there today. They've put the blinkers, they've taken the blinkers off and went to crossover noseband on, and they've done the ultimate sacrifice and gelded Sabrarian as well. So obviously he's had a few things on his mind.
I actually rode him first up last prep, and he ran a nice race. He just, obviously having the gelding operation hopefully will just bring him that little forward and he's improved this prep.
Okay, so you've ridden him at two of his trials. He's trialled nicely.
Yes, he has. He's improved from both his trials. His first one was nice, and then his second one was really nice. He finished just behind a stablemate at Randwick, and hopefully he'll be riding there today.
We got him $3.50 on the second line of betting, and Rachel, in race six, he got number five, a Celtic Diamond, barrier two for Scotty Singleton. This mare, $18, we have it 3.5 lengths back at Muswellbrook there on Cup Day. You rode her earlier in your career, though, or in her career, I should say.
Yeah, I've rode her probably a few preps ago now. It's been a little while, but I've seen her around. I've raced against her quite a bit. She's a winner of track and distance, so hopefully third up, this prep, she should be ready to go today.
Now, Rachel, I was looking to see whether Miss Monique was related to Sabrarian because she's had a few gear changes as well. She's got the pacifiers on the first time, tongue control a bit off, the tongue tie on, and the winkers off. So they've obviously decided to apply a few little changes here with this, but it did win a trial the other day, Tari.
Yeah, you know, hopefully from that trial, and obviously they've experimented a bit with the gear and things, and hopefully if they can put it all together today, she might show a little bit of improvement in her form.
Well, she's a five-year-old, only lightly raced, only had the five runs.
Yeah, exactly. So it's obviously been a few, you know, maybe issues, or whether she just started late, I'm not sure. But no, obviously tried a few different things with the gear this time. Hopefully that'll work.
All right, we go to the last year, Planet Reality in race eight, and this one here, and a couple of nice races of late.
Yeah, you know, it's been sort of more probably at the country tracks a bit, but as long as he can bring that form along with him today, you know, he's definitely a nice place chance.
All right. Now, what's the pick of yours today?
I think it'd have to be Sabrarian, hopefully. I'm hopeful of him. I've had quite a bit to do with him this prep and with his trials and all and his track work, so I'm hoping he'll run a nice race.
Now, there was a reported sighting of you at Flemington on Cup Day, Rachel.
That's right, yeah. No, I actually had a day off from riding myself and when I had a day out. It was really good. It was amazing. Definitely, like nothing else I've ever been to. I've been to quite a few, obviously, different carnivals and things in England, but it was definitely something very different.
Now, I think you started riding at the picnics or somewhere in England, didn't you, originally?
Yeah, sort of equivalent of probably what would be picnics here. Mm. More like at the amateur racing in England, yeah.
It would have been a bit different from those days to Melbourne Cup Day in Flemington.
Very different. Yeah, very different. A few more people, just a few.
Yeah, and I've suppose, did you catch up with any of the internationals?
I saw a few people around, yeah, that I knew. Friend of mine, Hayley Moore, Ryan Moore's sister, she was doing a bit of TV work and things. It was sort of, it's so hectic and there's so many people, you don't really get to see probably everyone, and some people you don't even realise are there until afterwards. But it was nice to see a few sort of familiar faces around, and I know everyone I spoke to that did come over, any internationals and anyone connected to any horses, just had the best time.
Yeah, terrific. Well, glad you enjoyed the day, and good luck today, too. Let's hope Sabrarian can do the right thing for you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel King joining us there. She's got some nice chances today there too, Jared.
Yeah, and I remember last time we spoke to her on Tab Talk. I'm sure she had a winner or two, Cozzy. So certainly a couple of value to there, but Sabrarian. $3.50 with tab.com.au is the one to watch. But just wanted to mention the cricket odds as well, Cozzy, because the second test starts Saturday at Belrive in Hobart, and the draw's odds on favourite now, $1.60, having opened at $3.50. There was good early money for the draw. Australia opened $2.50. They're out to $4.20, the same quote as the Proteas, who opened at $2.60, but they're just starting to back the Aussies. I think punters' eyes have lit up seeing $4.20 about Australia. The forecast looks a bit ordinary there in Hobart, but surely the Aussies can't play any worse than what they did in Perth.
It's been ordinary, hasn't it?
It has, but you've got to remember, I mean, it's just the nature of cricket. It can change pretty quickly, and the Aussies went from heroes to zeros from day one to day two. So if they can get some consistency across the course of the match, they can beat the Proteas. So $4.20, we're just starting to take some nice bets for them.
All right, now we've got news and sport update coming up around at 10:30. We've got Andrew Adkins joining us now, and he's got three rides today at Gosford. How are you, Andrew?
Good, thanks, Cozzy. How are you?
Good. Now, I'm very, very concerned, mate, about your new roommate. You're sharing with a bloke. This is just an absolute concern to us. He goes by the name of L. Marlowe and calls the races.
Yeah, that's right. No, he's a good bloke. Good help for me, so I can't complain.
I'd love to have a camera hidden in this place, Andrew. I reckon, mate. I tell you what.
How much time does Luke spend on his hair, just out of interest, Andrew?
Oh, there's a fair bit of time spent on that hair of his.
Yeah.
Got to have a look and... pretty special, I think.
He's got a nice wave there across the top.
That's right.
It's almost like a little Donald Trump in miniature, isn't it? It's growing. Now, Andrew, just quickly before you, mate, do you do washing up or is it just all takeaway?
We do a fair bit of cooking here and washing up just to stay healthy.
All right, because Ron Quinton's coming out later. He'll be interested to see how you're going. you're riding, I am impressed for him, in the fourth today. This has had a couple of trials. It's had two runs back, five-year-old, and Bayern Invincible. You've been on this before you rode the last start.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, he's had the three trials and the two runs back this prep, and he had that big, long spell beforehand. And I think, you know, we've got a bit of bit of fitness under his belt. He's coming back in grade here today to racing in town last start. He comes back with Gossip today. I think he'll be very, very, very suited, you know, after that two fitness runs and the three trials. I think he'll be suited today for sure.
He's best backed in early betting too at $4.20 there. I am impressed. Race 4, number 2. You've got race 6, number 7. You're on Orlando Jack. Barrier 6 for Damien Lane. $11 with Tab, but won at Taree though over the trip last start. This is harder, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. He's obviously won at Melbourne Cup there at Taree, but he's stepping up to here today. And he's got that confidence win under his belt from last start, so that'll help. He comes into Barrier 5 now. He's got a lightweight. I think he'll have every chance, and he'll be running it strong for sure.
All right. Now, Princess Command, you're riding for Mark Connors in the last three starts ago, this one at Canterbury. It sort of had its front space a little bit in a bit of a let-up before it's back today.
Yeah, that's right. His horse doesn't go too bad, actually. And, you know, it's won twice previously at Gosford, and three starts back, it's won in town. You know, Barrier 3. I think this horse got a really, really good turn of foot too, and it's won really well here at Gosford. There's a little bit of speed in it, but I should run along and she'll drop out the back. She's a bit of a lazy mare earlier. But look, I tell you what, that turn of foot will really bring her into this race really well.
All right. Now, what's your pick today of your rides?
Look, I'm impressed. He's going to be knocking on the door very, very close. And Prince Command, she can show a very good turn of foot, and I think she's going to be very, very suited today.
All right. Now, Andrew, you may not know this music, but I reckon you blokes, you and Luke Marlow, are going to have that on your doorbell. It's the theme from The Odd Couple.
That's right.
So you can have that theme on the doorbell. Rings, that'll play, I reckon, because I'd love to be a fly on the wall there, mate.
Yeah, no, it's good. He's good bloke, good help for me. And
terrific.
Good fun here, and he's very good bloke.
Good on you, mate. Well, look, good luck today, Andrew.
Yes, thank you very much, Cozzy.
All right, mate. We'll talk to you soon. Now, we'll go to Riccarton, and then we'll update news and sports straight after this, because they're loading pretty quickly here for race one at Riccarton, and this race over the 1,200 metres. They're moving in well.
On a Pippi Ray. Silver Mist about to come up. Kylie Williams for Russell and Ashley Mackay. In the background, Vicker's Daughter goes in. Travi, My Friend, is right with Petite Midas. In danger, Susie Wolf and Diamonds.